You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Pastor Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Reverend Minor for covering for me this morning and preaching a great message at the 8 o'clock service so that I don't have to preach three times today. Amen. I think I'm equipped for preaching a double header, but a triple header is kind of out of, I think got old now. Amen. So just bear with me this morning. I do have something on my heart that God has placed there to say to you today, and hopefully this afternoon, we'll say something to encourage Pastor Thomas as we go to Greater Bethlehem. Amen. If you have your Bible, open to the book of Galatians. And the very first chapter of Galatians, there is a message. We were talking, a few of us the other day, preaching about this new tradition of people standing when the word is read, and when we go away and we see people stand, we stand together while the word is being read. And I don't know how that crept in. I don't see it in the scriptures where we have to stand when the Bible is being read, because a lot of times in the course of my sermon, I will read scripture and nobody stands up then. So I don't know why it has to happen then, or when the deacons read, don't nobody stand up when read scriptures read, and at funerals when scriptures read, nobody stands up. But all of a sudden we brought in some new tradition into the church, and whatever the pastor is teaching at that church, I will be obedient and do that, and so it's not a problem. I don't have a problem with it. I just don't know where it began. But I know that the Lord would prefer for you to sit and do than to stand and be a hypocrite. Because everybody who's standing and not necessarily honoring the word. Honoring the word is not standing. Doing the word. Now that's honoring the word of God. Amen. Amen. Am I preaching already? Good. Because I don't know if I'm going to get much better than that. Amen. Today, in the book of Galatians, and beginning at verse 6 of the first chapter, you'll find these words: I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Our message is entitled, No Other Gospel. If I have nothing, I have good news from heaven. For that's exactly what the gospel means. It means good news. And in a world so messed up, all one has to do is watch the news at night and go to bed with the blues. We need some good news. This message has been on my mind and perhaps on my heart, and was birthed in my spirit through a conversation I had the other day with a grieving father. His second oldest son had passed away, and he called me to share this news with me. And while I know that this brother is not saved and does not belong to a church, he was finding fault with the fact that three of his children were attending a church. And he found fault with the church. He found fault with how they celebrate Jesus and so forth. And I couldn't understand. And he shared with me how he wished that they had at least tried some other religions and not be so sold out on Christianity. And I began to talk to him, to ask him, what do you mean? I don't quite understand. Would you have rather? Well, there's so many religions in this world that how can you possibly know that you have the right one?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, can all of the Muslims be wrong? Can all of the Buddhists be wrong? All of the Hindus be wrong? And then in your Christianity, you've got so many different denominations. How can they be right? He said, I wish that they would try some of the others before they came to this conclusion. Well, I was bothered by this, and I was kind of caught off guard because I've known him all my life, basically, since we were kindergarten students together. And before I could really get into the conversation, I said to him, what's wrong with it? I said, are your children, are they living? Oh, they doing good. And I said, are they paying their rent and house? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I said, well, what's wrong with them? Oh, nothing, except maybe they're all overweight. I said, well, they must be eating good. I pressured him until I found out what his big problem with was, that the church that they attended, the pastor taught them how to tithe. And he was upset because his children was giving 10% of their earnings unto the Lord. I told him, you know what, I had heard Dr. Sampson say years ago that he had studied a lot of world religions, and I have too. As a matter of fact, we even taught a class on world religions, and somebody asked Dr. Sampson, the late Dr. Sampson, the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist, they said, Pastor, if you wasn't a Baptist, what would you be? Well, no, they asked him, if he wasn't a Christian, what would he be? And he said, I'd be ashamed of myself. And they asked him why. He said, because Christianity is the only religion that has a second act. You see, when Buddha was through, he was through. Hare Krishna was through, he was through. When Muhammad was through, he was through. But when Jesus died, the second act, he rose the third day. And he lives forevermore. So after I told him that, I told my friend, I said, you know what? I don't know if you've tried anything else, but that's all I know is Jesus. But if you have something better, please share it with me.
All right.
There was a long pause and I heard nothing else. There was no comeback, no answer for that. Because it had nothing better. I remember in the Bible where Jesus' disciples and those who followed him were murmuring because he was talking about commitment. Many of them have followed him because he was able to take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed so many. So they were following him for the name it and claim it thing. They were following him because they wanted to have all of the things that they could have in life. They were following him because they said, if we make him king, we'll never have to worry about the grocery store going broke or running out of food, because Jesus can do so much. But they were following him for the wrong reason. When he talked about commitment and say, lest he eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, they didn't understand the spiritual portion of what he was saying. And all Jesus was saying, that if you follow me, you must be fully committed unto me. Just like you need bread and water to live, you need me to live and have eternal life. Unless you digest me in your spirit and take of me and consume me and eat of me and find that I'm sweet, you'll perish and be lost. And they didn't understand. And many of them went away.
Yes, sir.
Jesus turned to his disciples and asked, will you also go away? And it was Simon Peter, I believe, that said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, that's all we have to offer in the gospel, is eternal life.
Don't you ever think about it? Why is it that we live in a time and day we're so fixed on what's happening right now? We've lost sight of the fact that I don't care how long you live, you still gotta die. Many of us make plans to live and nobody make plans to die, but you won't stay here. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of going to funerals where I hear them say, well, I know he's in a better place. How do you know? Hell ain't a better place. You might be going through hell, but you ain't in hell till you're in hell. You might be catching hell, but you ain't in hell until you're in hell. We're so quick to say that, know that he's in a better place. You see, because that makes us feel better. Wouldn't it be wonderful to say that I know they gave their life to Christ and they showed the fruit of that and all that they did in their life? They loved Christ, they loved Jesus. They witnessed and told everybody about how much they love the Lord, but we don't hear that. We just say, I know he's in a better place, rest in peace. Ain't nobody in hell resting in peace.
You asked about that? Preach it, sir.
And it's not my job to put anybody in heaven or put anybody in hell. And I don't know myself. There have been many who I thought were in heaven. I might not see them when I get there, but I'm going.
Amen.
Eternal life. Our focus should be on the fact that this life as we experience it is just temporary. And I don't care how long you live, you still have to die. All of us must make preparation to leave here and to know that we have eternal life because it has been offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God realized that we could not keep the law. He realized that we could not live holy and righteous. So he sent his son to die in our place. What a beautiful thing.
Amen.
That by grace, you are saved through faith. You couldn't save yourself. On your best day, you couldn't get in heaven. So God sent his son to take your place. And had all of your sins, all of my sins put upon him. What a beautiful thing. I don't know how he did it. I can't explain God. I can't explain some of the things that God does. I don't understand some things, but I accept it by faith because it's in the book. Now you take the book from me, I messed up. You take the Bible from me, I messed up. But at least I have something. What do you have that's better than what I got?
Yes, sir.
Please share it with me.
Please.
I've studied Hinduism. I've studied Buddhism, Confucianism, Shintoism. I've studied the Mormons. I've studied Islam. I've studied Judaism. Show me what you got that I don't have, and I'll prove you wrong. Because I got some good news. My eternal life is not based upon my goodness, but upon God's grace. And how amazing is that grace? That he could save a wretch like me. Sometimes I just smile in knowing that he saved me because he didn't have to. I don't deserve it. I didn't merit it. I didn't earn it. But he gave it to me because he loved me. There's been some times when you needed somebody to love you or just to share. You should have known that the Lord loves you enough to give you eternal life. And the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, he found you to be in Christ Jesus. Before your mama knew your daddy, the Lord knew that you would be in the Lord. There ain't no accident. I've studied some world religions. I see how they don't appreciate my Christ and how they limit him and how they don't believe who he is and know who he is and can't understand who he is. How can he be God all by himself? I don't know, but he is. Amen. On this particular occasion of our text, Paul's authority is questioned as he has proclaimed the gospel in Galatia. The Galileans, or the Galatians, I should say, the people of this particular town, did not have a religion of their own, but they embraced all of the superstitions and the mythologies of the Greeks. So Paul came preaching the gospel, and something that they were overwhelmed by, and knowing that they could be delivered, they could have eternal life, they could embrace Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and when they died, they would go to heaven. But not only that, but they could live right before God and have the power of God living in them through the power of the Holy Spirit to give them courage, to give them strength, to dry their weeping eyes when their heart's breaking. I need Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't need him just for eternal life. I need him every day. And no sooner than Paul had left, the Judaizers came, those who were trying to legalize religion. We have them here today, those who are saying, you got to do this, you got to do that, and it takes all this, it takes all that. And they subvert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because men keep adding things into this. They're trying to say, well, you need to keep the dietary laws of Moses. And they said, no, under the gospel, we can eat anything as long as we're blessed. Yeah, we can have some pork chop. Yeah, we can have some ham. Long as we received it by blessing it, yeah, you can have the chitterlings too. The wrinkled steak. All right. It's to receive with the word of God and with prayer. But Mosaic law says unclean. I know, but we're not under the law. We're under the grace of God. If the law of the Old Testament had been good enough, Jesus didn't have to come to die for us. We have a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. You see, the gospel don't need improvement. It need no additives. And see, I'm bothered by my brethren who say they got a full gospel. The gospel already full. A half a gospel wouldn't have saved my wretched soul. A quarter of a gospel would have me breaking in your cars right now. I needed a full gospel to get me from where I was to get me to where I am. It's always been full. You don't have monopoly on this because you call yourself a full gospel Baptist church. This church has always been full gospel. Amen. You see, when there's attempts by men in tradition to change things and use a philosophy to bring something in, you only mess it up. When the recipe is just right, you don't need to put nothing in it. See, folks won't put hot sauce on it. No. The gospel is spicy enough. It needs no flavoring. Amen. It needs nothing. We live in a world where we have things that are new and improved. It's always something that's fortified and something that has been done. That means what they had before wasn't good enough, and now they've improved it. But Christ needs no improvement. The gospel needs no improvement. Grace alone saves. Cross, where Christ died, the blood that he sheds is enough. And you know what? I'm so bothered. I'm so bothered because every time I hear sermons, I'm looking to hear preachers preach the gospel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've heard some powerful, dynamic sermons that left me cold simply because they didn't tell the world that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. The Bible says that's the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Down in verse 3, it says, the B part says, "Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." Verse 4 said, "And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture." That is the full gospel. He died, he was buried, he rose. If I don't say nothing now, I can sit down right now because I have preached the gospel. We were listening to a preacher who preached, and oh, he was just bad. He was just dynamic. And oh, he just made us go back and get our dictionaries and learn some new words. I had a great vocabulary, and he just preached. But when he got through, he was just through. And somebody said, "Well, did you enjoy it?" I said, "That's like having a great big old gun that went bang, but didn't have no bullets. It was blanks. It made a loud noise, but you couldn't kill nobody with it. You can't fool the devil. You can't point no gun at him with blanks in it. Satan hates the gospel." And you know what? This is the honest to God truth. There have been some preachers who have come here, and I have told them, I said, "Now listen, and you come here, my congregation want to hear the gospel. So before you sit down, you make sure you tell them that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose the third day." And they promised me that they would. But they didn't. And I'm thinking that maybe they couldn't. Maybe they couldn't. Maybe they didn't know how. I'm always trying to educate preachers and pastors that this is what we must preach. We must preach. Jesus died. He was buried. Somewhere in your message, people need to understand where their sins have been taken away. No matter how eloquent you are, does not matter the extensiveness of your vocabulary, if you cannot tell the people that their sins were taken away by the precious blood of Jesus at Calvary and that he was buried and rose the third day, why are you preaching? I've heard great sermons where pastor didn't preach it, but when he gave his invitation, he gave it in the invitation so that nobody got off the church knowing that they still had their sins to deal with, that Jesus dealt with it all. That's the gospel. And anything else is another gospel. But Paul says there's not really another. There's only one. "I marvel that you so soon are removed from him that called you unto grace in Christ through another gospel, which is not another," he says. It ain't the gospel. He might have said, "Turn to your neighbor, touch three people, tell them this, tell them that, give somebody a high five, touch three people, all this." But that wasn't the gospel. That's called the hokey pokey, ain't it? You know, put your left hand in, put your left hand out, left hand in, shake it all about, do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. We go to a lot of churches like that, and they said, "Turn to your neighbor." My wife looked at me and said, "You better not touch me." This ain't what this is about. I know we call that interactive preaching now because, you know, you have to do that with black people. You got to get them in. That's why some of y'all turn your clock the other way this morning. Amen. We know who we're dealing with. Somebody's so confused about this, they just stay at home today. Amen. I turned my clock back yesterday. Amen. I wasn't taking no chance. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that it's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can save us. It's all that we have. Amen. And we need to focus on the fact that even though we are not experiencing eternal life, we have it because Christ gave it to us. Now understand. Now, when we talk of the gospel, I need to explain this because some people don't understand what the gospel is, even though I've told you, because there are four gospels in the Bible. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the gospels. We call those the gospels because they present Jesus Christ as three different persons. Four. First, Matthew presents Jesus as king. Mark presents him as a servant. Luke presents him as a man. And then John presents him as God all by himself. But these are the four Holy Ghost inspired portraits of Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. But that's not the gospel. The word gospel includes various aspects of the good news of divine revelation from God. The gospel means, the Bible mentions it's the gospel of God because it originates in his love. It's God's gospel. It's also called the gospel of Christ because it flows from his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And he is the object of our faith. It's also called the glorious gospel because it concerns him who is in glory and is bringing many of his sons to glory. And that's where we're headed. It's called the gospel of your salvation because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's called the gospel of peace because it's the only thing that brings peace between us and God. But before while we were lost in our sins, we were actually enemies of God. Amen. It had not been for this gospel of peace. It's also called the everlasting gospel because it lasts forever. It's an announcement of divine judgment upon a wicked world. And that's why when Paul says, if they come with any other gospel, let them be accursed. Anathema. Let them be accursed. As a matter of fact, I don't think that any place else in the Bible, at least I haven't found, where Paul had to repeat himself almost to the letter and emphasize the importance of this. He says it once, then he says it again. He says it in verse 8. He said, if they bring you anything, let him be accursed. Then he goes in verse 9 and says, I say it again. If any man preach any other gospel than that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be without hope. Let him spend eternity in hell if he come preaching anything other than this. How powerful and profound is that? I have nothing else to preach but the gospel of Jesus Christ. I must preach it because it says I'll be condemned if I don't. Forgive me if I don't sugarcoat it. Forgive me if it's not sweet to your taste. The gospel is good news, but sometimes it hits you like castor oil. And you know, you can't do nothing to castor oil to make it taste better. My mama put sugar on it. It just tastes like nasty castor oil with sugar on it. Mama gave you castor oil to tell you to eat an orange. Then the orange tastes like castor oil. That's nasty too. You can't do nothing to fix castor oil, to flavor it up. But when you take it, guess what? It'll work you. Oh yeah. If some men you need to come out, he'll come out, won't it? That's what this gospel will do. It's able to get the sin out of you and give you hope in Christ and everlasting life. If you have something better, come on, tell me about it. I've got the keys to everlasting life.
Yes, sir.
I've got the hope that surpasses all understanding. One day I'm going to be with Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you,
Lord. And I'm going to be on the other side a whole lot longer than I am on this side.
Thank you, Lord.
But it's not just that. I have him every day.
Yes, sir.
I have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That's what keeps me walking in his holiness. You see, we need to learn how to live holy. Because that's what God wants us. He wants us to live holy. So that others might see our holiness and want to be like us. We was talking with the bank the other day and they said, what are you doing for your youth program? Are you having a hip-hop gospel concert? I said, ain't no such thing as hip-hop gospel. Ain't no such thing. I preach the same stuff I've been preaching 26 years. Get right or go to hell. That's what I've been preaching.
Come on,
God said, he didn't tell us to be ye happy because I'm happy. He said, be ye holy because I'm holy. I'm walking in holiness. Spirit filled, full of power. Y'all forgive me because sometimes I don't act like I'm Baptist. That's because I ain't. I ain't never been Baptist. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. You don't limit me to a denomination. The Lord saved me. As a matter of fact, this ain't no Baptist church. As a matter of fact, it's more like a apostolic church to me. I don't know what you want to call it. But I'm a Christian. Saved by grace. Through the blood of Jesus. I'm saved. Sanctified because of what he did, not because of anything I've done except believe the gospel and accept it. I found out very early in life I couldn't save myself. I could live right for a few minutes, but I had no power. I needed to accept Christ as my personal savior in my life and live off the power that he gives. Yeah, just some good news, I tell you. Good news that Jesus died for us, was buried and rose. I got to hurry on now. I remember a long time ago, as a little boy growing up in Hamtramck, I had a free press paper route. And when I had gave all of my customers their newspaper, sometimes I would have some left over. And I'd ride my bike down to the corner of Kniff and Joseph Campbell. Uh-huh. And whatever the headline was, I'd say it, extra, extra. Yeah. Read all about it. Yeah. And give out and sell the extra newspapers. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got pretty good at it. Especially when it was a good news headline. Yeah. I began to holler what the headline said. You need to read all about it. Yeah. Well, somebody's time would stop and they would buy the newspaper. Sometimes folk would just pass me by. But now when I look back on it, I got some good news that's better than I ever had. And I just want you to read about it. Well, that reminds me of a story I once heard about a man who worked in a train yard. And he was the switchman in that yard. He worked in a high tower, watching over the railroad tracks. It was his job to control what tracks the train ran on. And he had a son at his old age. Y'all ever seen an old man, baby? He walked like an old man. He moved like an old man. But the only thing is, his son could not hear and he could not speak. But oh, how he loved his daddy. And everywhere his daddy went, the little boy wanted to go along with his daddy. And sometimes the father would take him to work with him down by the train yard. He would sign to his son, stay away from those tracks. And one day while he was in the tower and thought his son was right there with him, little boy had got here the little pail and shovel and went down there by the railroad tracks. He was putting pebbles of sand and grain in his little pail. But he got too close to the railroad tracks. And there he was right in the middle of the train tracks. The whistle of the train would blow, but the little boy couldn't hear it. His father tried to wave to him to tell him to get off the track, but the little boy couldn't see him. The father had to make a decision. He said, well, I can switch the train because the 9 o'clock express was coming. It didn't stop for nothing. It had about 200 passengers on board. He said, if I've switched his rail, certainly that train will derail, and all 200 passengers might die. But if I don't do nothing, my son might die. He pondered and wondered, what shall I do? He knew he didn't have enough time to run down from his tower and get his child. All he did was turn his back at the 9 o'clock express, rolled on by. On the next day, little boy stood on the sidewalk saying, extra, extra, read all about it. One died, but 200 lived. That's all I've come to tell you today. Nearly 2,000 years ago, one died that we might live. God turned his back, and the train went on running on the track. Jesus died in your place. He took your place. He took my place that we might live and have eternal life. I'm glad. I'm so glad. He died for me. Ain't that good news? Extra, extra. Read all about it. Jesus died that I might live. But hold on. Hold on. Hold on. There's a second act. He died. They put him in a tomb. On the third day, Jesus rolled the stone away. He rose from the grave. Oh, power. Oh, power. Oh, power. Heaven and earth. In his hand. He rose. He rose like a conquering king. He rose. He rose. One day, when the life is over, roaming down the aisle, say a few nice words, then roaming back up the aisle. But don't you worry, my soul is already in the hand of Jesus. Stand at the cemetery, put me down 6 feet deep, but know that that's only my body. My soul is already saved and sanctified and fitted for heaven. I'm glad about it. Good news, good news. That's the only good news I have, that Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and rose the third day for me. Good news. Good news. There's no other gospel. No other gospel. Stand to your feet. The door of the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.